Hello. I want to start with an email I got, and I just love your emails. Please keep sending them. They encourage me. And this one I wanted to share. I never share your name, or if there's something personal, I try to keep it out. So I'll just say this one is from Texas. And I was going to teach more on this, but things changed today. But I was going to share more on some of the deception in the church. But today I want to continue on the harlot church. And we're going to go into some new things on psychology. We need to know what's going on. What's going on in the churches. Your church teachings, he said, are spot on concerning deception in the church. I, like many others, was taken in for a period of time by the Word of Faith teachings. I have a Bible marked from cover to cover concerning everything I have and am in Christ, the head, not the tail. The only problem is it's all about me and humility, and his servants gets lost in the process. In other words, humility and his servants get lost in the process. Then he talks about someone close to him that was diagnosed with cancer in 1991, and she fought it with the word prayer and faith. Using a doctor would, of course, be a lack of faith. You know that teaching. I vividly remember the night before she passed away. She was bedridden at home, couldn't talk or function on her own, but of course we knew she had to rise up and be healed. How many have fallen for that teaching? Someone I know is going through this right now. I kissed her cold, clammy forehead and told her I loved her before leaving. The next day she was rushed to the hospital, and we were told that her breast cancer had spread to her lungs and brain. That's why she couldn't talk. The doc said if she lived, she would be a vegetable. God in his mercy allowed her to pass from this life a couple hours later. Sad to say, but stories like this have been repeated all over the world. This has been a worldwide deceptive teaching. And if you need more on that, I have Why I Left the Faith message. A bunch of them, Why I Left the Prophetic Movement. Those are where I can go more into depth. And where the prosperity where the prosperity message came from. That's very informative. And I was going to share a little more about that, but I'm not now. So if you can watch those videos to catch up. The Word of Faith has, in my opinion, he said, been one of the greatest deceptive teachings that has done the most damage to the church. How many people have turned away from the faith because of it? It shook mine to the point that I could barely hang on, even though I had been in church 35 years. Now the church is being even more deceived with the NAR, New Age, Emergent, and other extreme teachings infiltrating the church. Your teaching is greatly needed, and I pray for ministries like yours to help guide the remnant church. It seems the falling away is happening before our very eyes, and a deceptive plan is unfolding before us that will take and make the true believers become the enemy. And he wanted to thank us and encourage us to keep going. So, yeah, that's been a very, very sad teaching, which we are all a part of and came out of it. And I want to encourage as we go today or tonight or wherever you're watching this from, about the harlot church, some ingredients of the harlot church, and know that God is building his church and Satan is building his. So there is a true church and there is a false church. So we need to know what the ingredients are so we can come out. Because we can't come out of something if we don't know what's wrong about it. So we need to see what the harlot church is, what they're teaching, what they're believing, so we can run from her just as Joseph ran from Potiphar's wife. Leave it. It's a system that is sensual and flattering and full of lies and deception. I did a message on flattering, how the Antichrist will be full of flattery. And a lot of this is in your churches, how great you are. All these things are yours. It's all about you, which is really humanism. And it doesn't lead you to Christ. Picking up your cross, deny yourself, follow him, obey his teachings. Read the Bible and just do what he says. It's so simple that we made it so hard. So we need to pray for those that are trapped in these systems. We were once trapped in it. Some of the teachings I'm talking to you about tonight, about some of the psychology. When I was going to get my doctorate, I had to read all these books. And I wish, I threw them all away. I wish I had them now to just tell you which some of these books were. But a lot of people are going to counseling now. And if you're a counselor, I just want to caution you, be careful what you're teaching people. Because some of these doctrines are demonic. We're going to go into what Sigmund Freud really is. We're going to just do a brief thing on who he really is. He's one of the founders of these movements. So we need to pray for people that are trapped. A lot of people go into these counseling sessions and they just keep going inside themselves. They keep going backwards. And one lady that I was talking to, she said that the counselor is taking her back inside the womb for all these memories. And I was just like, what a ditch. What a ditch. And they're getting paid lots of money to confuse people. And then another thing they're doing is blaming the parents for everything. Just cut them off. Your parents taught you wrong. So we know that's totally ungodly, demonic. But we need to pray for these that are trapped with this false church. And the false church is rising. It's going to rise in Revelations chapter 17. Turn there and you can read Revelations 14, 17, and 18 when you have time. We're just going to go over some of this about the harlot church because it's national. It's international. It's not just one city, one state. It's worldwide. And the Bible, that's what we're going to go into a little bit here. The harlot church has a message, and basically it's God loves you. Everything is about love, and God does love you, but this is too extreme. The other message is unify, unity, unity. Don't judge, don't touch the anointed. They have certain scriptures, and of course, one of their big ones is prosperity. And the prosperity teachings, a lot of them take a scripture, like 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things you'd prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. They take that as a doctrine where actually it's a greeting. It's like you'd say today, take care. You know, if you're going to take care, have a good journey, be safe. And they take that word prosperity and they absolutely make it about materialism. So that's part of the harlot church teachings, like it or not. We've all been in part of that. The harlot church promotes you, but the true church promotes Christ. The true church promotes Christ. The harlot in Scripture is one who forsakes the true God and worships idols. It is being built through the unity movement. Everything is like ice cream, just all united, all. It all tastes good. It's all good for you. And if people aren't studying to show themselves approved, they're going to be sucked into this harlot church. And I'm seeing people that I thought would come out of this, they're just diving in. It's like they're diving in. They're going deeper. And then they're using the ecumenical philosophy is creating, and it will continually create a one world church. And this thing is happening fast. Our world is absolutely changing daily, isn't it? It's hard to keep up with the news and the bad news. The banking, all these different things. And years ago, I started talking to you guys about Agenda 2030. Nobody wanted to hear it. It's not a good message. It's kind of negative. But it's happening, whether we like it or not. And now they want, today I heard in the news, they want to come after your air conditioning. It's just like, really? Yeah, be happy and own nothing is their philosophy. But we're not moved. We're not shaken. The enemy wants to use fear and terror, but the Bible, that's why it's so important that we know the gospel isn't just this happy-go-lucky thing. It's walking with him in through the darkness, walking through this world, walking. We aren't to love this world. If we love the world, the Bible says it in James 4:4, we're enemies of God because this world and its system, of course, we live in it, but we're not supposed to love it. We have to come out of a lot of the things, especially in the church. That's my focus right now. There's a lot of things that are going on, but my focus right now has been the church because we need to know what the enemy is doing and so that we can escape and come out of her. So we're to separate from those who teach different doctrines. Romans 16, 17. Let's look at that one. That's a good one that's misquoted. Keep your finger in Revelation 17 because we will come back there. Revelations, Romans 16, 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. Contrary to the doctrine which you have received, and what do? Avoid them. Mark them. See, they're teaching you wrong things. Mark them. Don't join them. Don't give your money to them. Mark them and avoid them. For they are such servants. They serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches. There you are. Good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men, and I'm glad thereof on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto which is good, and simple concerning which is evil. So mark those preaching another gospel. They're false teachers. They're causing division. They're special revelations. They're dreams, putting dates on Christ's return. Even Jesus doesn't know when the return of Christ is. These people want to get you all psyched up so you can just escape. No, we're not escaping. We're walking and we're ready. Whenever God comes, we're ready. But these false teachers want to psych you up into putting dates on Christ's return. The truth so-called movement is full of imposters and infiltrators. So you have to know that. And that's not good news, because for how many years, 40 years, we thought, man, the church was on fire. It was doing great. Nobody told us about deception. We just thought we were right in the middle of what God was doing, and we didn't realize that the harlot church was rising. So again, we need to see a lot of this is happening. And the love that they talk about in the harlot church is strictly business. It's strictly business. It's out to merchandise you. In Judges 16, 4 through 5, here we see the story of Samson and Delilah. And we see that Delilah, here was the harlot. And what was she motivated by? The harlot church is motivated by the same thing, money. Follow the money. Follow the money trail. The Bible says you can't serve God in money. Yes, we need money. We all need money. But our motive is to serve the Lord. That will keep us pure. If our motive is to make money and serve money, all this to use people, abuse people, that's the harlot church. And the banker boys. The banker boys, it's always been the ones that Jesus kicked out of the temple. Remember, he took the whip, and they're still around. Those banker boys. Who's involved in this system? The kings of the earth, Revelation 17. Let's look there quick. There's coming a judgment of the great whore, Revelation 17, verse 1. Judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. God's going to let this system run its course, but it'll be judged. And the Bible says it's going to fall. It's going to fall in an hour. So we don't want to be a part of the church that looks like it's successful and prosperous and full of money and resources, if that's not where God is. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So the harlot church is going to be full of sin. It's going to be full of perversion. The true church, he wants a holy church. He wants a separated church. So it's darkness versus light. And the harlot church mixes with the world. It brings in the worldly music. And now we're not really worshiping God. We're serving other things. And there's no price to pay. When you serve the Lord, he says, deny yourself. Walk in love. It's hard to walk in love sometimes, but if you don't, you're disobeying the Bible. So we got to keep walking in love. Keep make sure our heart's right. Someone else's might not be, but God's not going to judge them. He's going to judge you. So make sure our heart's right. So here they commit fornication. In verse 4, she was arrayed in purple, scarlet color, decked with gold, precious stones, and pearls. What does that mean? A lot of money. There's a lot of money in the harlot church. Having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Dark versus light. And upon her forehead, the mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. The harlot church is a persecutor. It wants to destroy the purposes and the plans of God and the people of God. The harlot church, it's like Cain. Cain killed Abel. Abel was good, but Cain was evil. There you go. You got the spirit of Cain versus the spirit of Abel. So we see it's a persecuting church, drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. It goes on and on, but I like how it's going to be judged. Revelation 18:2, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils. Just think of how dark that church is going to be in the end times. It's just going to get darker and darker and darker. That's why the Bible says, come out of her, my people. You go, well, where do I go? You go where the Lord tells you to go. Sometimes when we came out, we didn't know where we're going to go. But God brings you friends. He brings you people. And then it says, the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Verse 4, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. And on it goes about how Babylon is going to be judged. So we need to see the two churches. The harlot is a persecutor. It's spiritually unfaithful to God. They follow other gods and forsake the true and the living God. So we see here that Delilah was a type of a harlot. She was a harlot, and her motive was money. And, you know, you think, can't these people ever get enough? I mean, it just seems like they lust and want more and more and more, the evil people, and they use the good people. It's just like they never are satisfied. The kings of the earth, they're involved in this system. Now, where's the harlot church today? It's growing. Unfortunately, it's growing, but the Bible said it would. So we're going to see here in chapter 17, it makes it clear that there's a great harlot, prostitute, whom all the kings of the earth commit fornication. The purpose to persecute and destroy the things of God. And we haven't seen a lot of that, but we are coming in to persecution. We are coming into times of where the enemy wants to snuff out the true. And it might look like the enemy's winning for a while, but he is defeated. And he wants to wear out the saints. The Bible says that he will. He'll make war. But always keep your eyes on the end of the battle. Jesus wins. Jesus wins, right? And we read that in verse 1, how he's going to show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits upon many waters, the fornication. The water here represents people. The great harlot sits upon many waters. It's an international thing. It's not just one nation. So just think how big this deception goes. The word harlot or prostitute tells us something. It's money driven. It's money driven. I just think of what we just have come through the last 3 years, how much money certain companies have made off profiting off of people's fear. Money's what buys worldly influence, worldly resources. Expect the great harlot to have plenty of worldly influence and worldly resources. The kings of the earth commit fornication with this great harlot. The kings represent political power. We're starting to see religious and political leaders unite. They always kind of have behind the scenes as I've studied this out, but it's coming out full force. The kings are representing political power. There's an alliance of ungodly kings, presidents, prime ministers with religious institutions. And you're probably looking at a manifestation when you see this as the great harlot. We now see this in the evangelical churches. The harlot church leads people into the mystery religions and humanism. As Christ is building his church again, Satan is also building the harlot church. And I can't stress that enough. The harlot church is already taking shape, and one of the big ways that it came in was through the prosperity gospel. It's being built by the social gospel, unity, revival movements, positive messages, the positive message philosophy, don't speak anything negative. And what a deception to have everybody think positive, and then when these warnings come, you don't listen to warnings because the warnings are too negative. So I remember back in 2016, I started warning. And it was just like, well, we don't want to hear warning. We want to feel good. But those of us that listen to the warnings are more prepared. We're more prepared for the things we're seeing now, because we knew this was going to happen to the money, the banks. We knew this was going to happen, that they want to shut things down. We didn't know how it was going to happen. But because we're walking with the Lord, He will tell us the things we need to know. And then we trust Him. He'll show us the things we need to do, one step at a time, lead us and guide us, because we can't follow these church leaders. Amen. You just can't. We can't put our trust in men. Now, I want to get into something a little different here in a second. Just hang on about the disturbing facts about psychology. And this is another thing that I did step into. I didn't get into it a lot, thank God, but I thought this was the way to go many, many years ago in the books that I read. And I want to really tell you the truth about psychology. Hang on, because this is something I've never heard before. But if you do your own research, you'll see it. So it's the apostasy will increase. It's not going to go away. And their revivals will be false revivals, leading you into other different things until a one-world church is formed. Now, if you know that, and you see it, you're not afraid of it, because knowledge is power. Yeah. So why people don't want to see things, I don't understand. But the religious harlot of Revelation 17, she is described as a whore, physically and spiritually. And Mystery Babylon is, like I said, very wealthy, and it's a persecutor. The women in verse 6, the women was drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs. So this false church is eventually going to start persecuting the true church in the name of God. Babylon will fall, be judged and destroyed in 1 hour. There's coming to a point where God will say, that's it. Enough is enough. It will become the habitation of devils. Now, the thing that I thought was interesting that I kind of switched my whole message for was about psychology. If you know anything about psychology, they say the founder was Sigmund Freud, right? Now, this is a warning because this might change your whole idea of the father of psychology, Sigmund Freud. There's a lot of things that they don't tell you. There's a lot of things that they push their philosophy, but they don't tell you the things that are really happening with this man in particular, but a lot of these perverts. Psychology is the study of the mind and behaviors. They say it's a scientific study, including feelings and thought, and the treatment of mood disorders and all these different things. This might change your whole opinion on psychology and who the founder was, because Sigmund Freud was almost, everyone will know he is the fundamental part he played in the creation of psychotherapy. And just hang on, because people think they're going to get counseling and they quote him. You have no idea what a mess he was. You think you're a mess? Nothing compared to what this guy was, okay? Few of us really know what kind of a man he was, how he lived his life, and what kind of thoughts and concepts he harbored. To become a psychologist or a therapist, one is obligated to enroll in university studies and graduate with a degree. During these studies, the student is made to study and memorize the theories of the founding father, Sigmund Freud. Many times, I had to read quotes by him. His theories are neatly compiled and edited and reviewed textbooks. What these textbooks intentionally exclude are the dark and destructive aspects of his practices and his theories. Number one, he was an avid drug user. He promoted cocaine. He used the substance frequently until his death in 1939. He was a defender of child molestation. How many want to go get counseling now? I'm not going to read that. It's kind of dark. He actually presented a theory where the cause was not adults preying on children, but the child itself is lusting over his parents and seeking pleasure. This stuff is dark. Talk about gaslighting. Total gaslighting. Number three, he had serious woman issues. He considered women to be weak, vain, jealous, lacking a good sense of justice. He believed that women's problems in essence stem from them not having a male organ. I won't say the word. He even went as far as claiming that women are the problem in society. How many want counseling now? Lots of points towards him having more than just friendly relationships with his male friends. We'll not go into that. But yes, it's there. Another thing that they lay hidden, generational abuse in the family. It's a little known fact that Freud's father molested his own children, and that they all show distinct symptoms of distress and trauma, do you think? Not going into that, there's a lot of darkness in that. If you want to read this article and get it yourself, it's 7 Disturbing Facts About Sigmund Freud. And I got it this morning, that's why I changed my message. It's like, I've always wanted to teach on why psychology, you have to really watch. There's so many branches of it, but most of them, they deal with the mind and the mood, and they don't really bring Christ into it at all. They don't bring Christ as the answer. They keep blaming things, and they keep going so deep into stuff, and they have to come back and talk again for another hour. So if you're counseling, you got to make sure that you bring Christ into the picture, right? He was a relentless addict. He smoked up to 20 cigarettes a day, and he eventually developed mouth cancer in 1923. He had so many surgeries, and his surgeries were gross. I'm not going to read through that. He never stopped smoking, and it led to his death. One of the man's books, The Assault on the Truth, Freud's Suppression of Seduction Theory, was by author Jeffrey M. Masson. He courageously presents shocking new material from letters and documents issued by Freud and his circle. He has a lot of research in here. He was dismissed in 1981 in a dispute over interpretation of other controversial Freud material. As the brave man, he chose to not keep quiet about the information he came across, and he lost his career because of it. But he spoke the truth on the matter, regardless. And some facts that he unraveled under his research was a patient treated by him in 1900 and then dismissed as a case of paranoia ended up hanging herself in a hotel room. Number two, Freud was overly preoccupied and lustful over money. In one letter, he wrote that money is laughing gas for me. Just think, this is the guy that everybody quotes as the great psychologist. There's another article here, Something to Hide. Still remains unavailable to scholars. This includes at least 75,000 items stored in the United States Library of Congress, and to which the public access has been prohibited. So what does he have to hide? What's hiding? Why won't they allow people to see into these documents? It says, one might wonder what the Freud estate has to hide going through such extreme measurements to keep such a large quantity of documents secret to the public. As seen above, the father of psychotherapy, mental health professionals, psychologists, clinical social workers, marriage and family therapists or professional counselors are all involved in this. And if you're in these counseling professions, make sure you know where the roots are of what you're teaching, because this whole thing is totally based on demons, demonic lies, therapies that don't work. So the father of psychotherapy could hardly be considered a healthy, balanced man with good morals and wholesome behaviors. If he was practicing today, he would be robbed of his license. He would not be licensed. They would have taken it away from him, and he'd been questioned for his dubious behaviors. So if you've been quoting him, stop immediately. And something Dave Hunt wrote, he's got a whole book on it. I've got a whole book on it. Everything he said that happened to you, even from the time you were a tiny baby, they say, is recorded in your memory. Is subconsciously afflicting you in ways you can't understand. The only hope for change is through the sacred rituals of psychology, the new religious science of the soul, and other inner healers. Sanctify psychology pagan rituals with Christian terminology. And by visualizing Jesus present in the process, an occult technique for inducing contact with spirit guides who are only too happy to pose as Jesus or Mary. Quote from Dave Hunt. That's pretty heavy. I've been wanting to share on that for a while. I'm glad I finally got released to do so. 1 Corinthians 1:18, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. It's the power of God that you get saved and you can renew your mind. You don't have to go back into the womb. You don't have to go back and say, Jesus be with me. He was with us. Things happen. There's people that are demonic. A lot of us could say our parents were. My dad was 17 when he went into World War II, came back messed up. You're going to be messed up if you have to kill people or see people killed. The war is terrible. Was it his fault? No. Circumstances are not your fault, but we're in it. You don't go back and blame your parents. Move on. If your parents did something, they weren't the perfect parents. I don't know anyone that was a perfect parent. Don't go back and just keep rehashing and rehashing and rehashing. Guess what? It gets you nowhere. It absolutely pays them and gets you nowhere. It's the truth that's going to set you free. Forgive them. Release it and let it go. Sometimes you don't feel like you forgive them. Say, Lord, I forgive. My dad was an abuser. He physically beat all of us. And I had to forgive him. When I got saved, it was hard. I went for a long period of time without talking to him. The good news is he got saved. The bad news is he scarred us. He scarred all of us. He was scarred himself. But when you see what he's been through and you see that God's forgiven you, it's easier to forgive people that hurt you. That doesn't mean you go back for more abuse. Some people you thought were your friends, I found out. I thought I had a friend. Found out she was a liar. A terrible liar. She wasn't my friend at all. She never was honest with me, wouldn't come to me with rumors and stuff she heard. That's not a friend. A true friend, you have honest discussions, but you have to forgive. Even your closest friends can hurt you sometimes. They don't mean to. It's life. But you don't have to keep going digging inside yourself and trying to find these psychology answers. I hope I'm making myself clear. If you're going to get counseling, make sure the counselor is filled with the Holy Spirit, knows the Lord, and knows about narcissism. A lot of counselors don't even know what a narcissistic abuse situation is because they're narcissists themselves. So don't go to counseling and get abused again. That happened to me. Counselors that don't get narcissism aren't going to help you because they don't know what it is, and they keep trying to get you to figure out what's wrong with you. And yeah, we all have stuff to deal with and work on, but don't put your confidence in men. You got to get back to putting your confidence in the Lord. Thank God for people you can talk to. I'm not saying you can't get some help, but if they're following Freud, I'd say no thanks. James 4:4, I'm going to close now. James 4:4, the friendship with the world makes us enemies with God because the church becomes a harlot, opening itself up to music that it's secular and worldly, that's going to bring in all these people. You don't want to offend them. More and more we see these churches are opening themselves up and they're compromising more and more and more. The church of the world, the harlot church, is going after the customs and the gods of the... There's so many things that are happening in some of these big churches I see. I'm connected to a lady that's kind of exposing some of this. Sometimes I can't even read it. It's just like, is this really real? You know, some of the things you're seeing that are happening in the churches. So an example of one of the things, and it's the false gospel, the prosperity, health, and wealth gospel. I'm going to close with this, kind of how we opened with it, with this letter. What it really does is it points them in 1 John 2:15 through 17. It doesn't point them to Christ. It points them to the lust of the eyes. Go to church and they want to all tell you to get, you have to get a new car, you have to get a new house, you got to look this way, you got to dress this way, you got to be the head, not the tail. It's just such a fake. This is one thing. Know your truth and know your reality. Don't let other people come in and tell you what your truth is and what your reality is. If you're fighting sickness and you're going through something in these churches, they want you to ignore it. Don't go to a doctor. You don't need it. You're healed by a stripe. Well, your symptoms are telling. Well, don't deny those symptoms. That's all Gnostic teachings that we were taught in the Word of Faith. That is not the Bible. They take a couple scriptures on faith and they twist it, and now they say faith is a force. So a force makes it an impersonal God. Our God is a relationship God. That's why we have faith through Jesus Christ. We have faith in Him. We walk with Him. It's not a formula. It's not seven steps to write your own ticket with God. Like, God is someone you boss around and you command and you tell Him what to do. But it leads you to the lust of eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Boy, you think you got some of these secret doctrines down and you have faith and you put everyone else down. It's so full of pride. The prosperity gospel is a human-focused religion. And in order to succeed, they depend on their own words, their own thoughts. Think of how works-oriented that really is. You have to confess 10 times a day that you're a success. You have to confess. You have to be. All it is motivational. What happens if this doesn't work? People don't have to pick up the pieces like a lot of us have had to pick up people that have been shamed by these gospels, these false gospels. Prosperity teachers teach a faith is a spiritual force and a spiritual energy and a spiritual power. It's this force of faith that makes the laws of the spirit world function. Here again, the laws of the spirit world, that's the law of attraction. It's a human-centered spiritual force directed at God. Come out from amongst these teachings. Come out. Throw away their books. I have thrown away their CDs, their books. Basically, they say Jesus died for you to be prosperous and healthy. Is that why Jesus died? To make you rich. Well, that's what they say. Matthew 16:24 says we are to pick up our cross, follow Him in a relationship, not a formula. 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things you'd prosper and be in health, ease, and leisure. It was a greeting. That was not a doctrine. That was not a teaching that was for the church. It was simply a greeting. Have a great journey. Hope you have everything you need. Have a good journey. Because they traveled a lot back then. It's not what the prosperity gospel people have told you. That is part of, I believe, a stepping stone into the harlot church. Because what happens then when, if you're not rich and prosperous, they don't pray anymore. They command. They decree. They boss God around. That's what it's come to, really? No, not in the true church. In the true church, you're supposed to ask. Yeah, that's right. You're supposed to believe you receive. You ask. You don't command. You don't decree. You don't do all these things that the harlot church does. Abomination is over the harlot church. We don't want to be a part of it. Father, we thank You for Your word, Your true word. We want to be a part of the true church. And we pray for those, Lord. This is educational, not to condemn anyone, even if they're in some of these counseling situations. Or we just want truth. Wherever this truth leads us, Lord, we want the spirit of truth. And it takes courage to unlearn some of the things we've learned. It takes courage to say, I was wrong there. I was involved in that. And I see now it was. But thank God for that courage that we can start over and just say, I really don't know much. All I've ever learned was through these false teachers. And Lord, I want to know You. I want to know you. I want to be a true believer. I want to be a part of the true church. I want to mark those that cause divisions contrary to the doctrines in the Bible. And I want to know you. And everyone said, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. We want to be a part of the true church. Amen? Amen.
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Her backup channel, Roberta Morrison 2, the number 2, and also on the Living in His Presence Church website. To be notified of new messages from her, click the subscribe button and a drop menu will let you choose. Go to the livinginhispresence.org webpage and click on the top center to see her messages. Also, there are free audio downloads of the messages. We are viewer supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching and see you next time.